Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from beautiful Pueblo, Colorado, on this chilly 22nd day of September 2009. We're in for a special treat today, folks, because our guest is Carrington Payne, one of the talented young stars of the new Fame movie, which opens this Friday nationwide. Carrington wowed me, as well as others, with her dynamic dancing during season 4 of TV's So You Think You Can Dance. In Fame, she plays a young girl who admits that dance is her life, so Carrington probably had very little trouble identifying with this character. We're delighted she could make time to be with us today, and it's my great pleasure to introduce her now. Welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters, Carrington.
Hi, thank you for having me.
We're so delighted that you could come on the show today, and I know it's a busy, exciting time for you this week. When is the Fame premiere, and how are you getting ready for it?
Our Fame premiere is tomorrow at the Grove in Los Angeles. And, it's really exciting. I've been to, a few premieres, but never my own. So very exciting and very, very nerve-wracking. Just going to, get some hair and makeup done, take a limo with my friends, go walk the red carpet. It's going to be fun.
Oh, it should be an awesome experience for you. And I want you to know that you've got many, many fans here at Blog Talk Radio.
That's awesome.
You really do. And we're eager to ask you some questions about Fame and, of course, about So You Think You Can Dance. But first, I need to check with Nikki Starr and Jazz Shaw and our guest panelist, A.J. Hockery, to see if they're ready to help with the show. Nikki, is our chat room open?
Yes, ma'am, it is. And we are ready to go.
Great. Thanks, Nikki. I also want to thank our chatters, plus all our other listeners for tuning in. And thanks to Jazz for co-hosting again today. Jazz, have you recovered from our interview with Debbie Reynolds last Thursday?
Well, I'm still having the vapors here and there, Betty Jo, but I'm slowly getting over it.
Well, it was a fun interview, wasn't it?
She
was just awesome, and it was such a treat to have her on the show. And also back with us today is one of our favorite film critics, A.J. Hockery. Carrington, A.J. is known as the Mad Movie Man, but I think he would really be mad if we hadn't invited him on the show today. Hi, A.J. thanks for joining us again.
No problem, Betty Jo. And as everyone knows, I'm secure enough in my masculinity to admit that I enjoy musicals, so I'm looking forward to what Fame has to offer.
I feel the same way. I mean, just kind of chomping at the bit here to be the first one in line on Friday, which is when I'll get to see it. And we always enjoy it when you're on the show, AJ. But let's give Jazz the floor to get things started. He's not having the vapors, so we can call on him now with the first question for Carrington. Jazz, you're on.
Yes, I may have just calmed down enough. Carrington, first of all, thought you were great on Dancing with the Stars, by the way. But let's start out with Fame. Nobody just walks into that kind of an opportunity. Cole, can you give us a little bit of the background? How did you come to that role? How did you wind up landing it? And what were you doing before that led you into that?
Yes. Well, when I was on the show, the filmmakers, just kind of saw me, and they really wanted dancers for this role. So they wanted me to audition. So I went and auditioned, and I got a call back a couple days later. And then a week later, I found out I got it. So it was kind of crazy and fast, and just, I was in total shock. I just wasn't expecting it at all. And So, yeah, and it just went from the show, and then I went on tour with the show, and then right from tour I started filming. So it was
so
a crazy.
So this is your first big screen outing?
Yes, this is my first big thing, yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic.
I know, it's crazy.
You look so great in the previews.
Oh, thank you so much.
Just there's just little snippets, but you just kind of jump off the screen. I mean, it's so great to see you up there. But you talked a little bit about the audition process. I heard something about there being 400 or was it 700 dancers?
Yeah, 700 700 dancers auditioned. They were so many talented people that auditioned for this movie. It's kind of crazy to think, you know, that they picked me or they picked this person, and it was very, very crazy.
Wow, it must have been sort of a grueling audition process. Did you audition it like a group, or did you have to do solos?
One of the last people to audition, they've been auditioning since last June. So they kind of had everyone already, like, put together and who they wanted. And so it was kind of a fast process only because they were trying to get this last character. And, yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Well, we're so glad that you did get picked for this.
Oh, well, thank you. I am too.
Oh, you're very welcome, because this movie, if it's anything like the original, does have a lot of terrific dancing in it, so we need terrific dancers like you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it was great to be a part of it.
Well, we're so looking forward to it. And AJ, I wonder if you have a question about fame for Carrington.
Yeah, I do. As some people I know, fame set at the school kind of covers the wide spectrum of all sorts of performing arts, but can you tell us about the character you play and what she's all into, what her goals are?
Yes, I play the aspiring dancer. Her name's Alice. She, her main focus and drive is to be a professional dancer in this professional company. And you can just totally see that she's determined, she's focused, and that, you know, you can just totally see her love for dance. So that's, you know, her whole goal, and you'll see her struggles, you know, trying to get through that. So
I understand that she's a Park Avenue gal, and
yes, she is.
Am I giving something away? And she falls for a boy from across the tracks. So, you know, the age-old story. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much, you know, that good old, you know, falls for the bad boy. Parents don't approve of him. That whole thing. But yeah, she ends up having to pick between him and dance in the end, which is sad. But it's one of her struggles that she has to go through.
That she has to go through, and that's the way the original Fame did have so much of the struggles of the students that were attending the Performing Arts Academy, and so it sounds like they kept that. But which scenes were the most fun for you to film, and which were the most challenging?
Most fun was definitely my black and gold scene. Like Alice's big senior dance number. That was so much fun to film just because it was such a fun dance to perform. And also, like, scenes like Cafeteria Jam, because, like, everyone's there. We did it for a week long. It's just, like, a fun scene to film. It wasn't, you know, hard. It was just us playing around, you know, giving the director ideas. It was really cool. Most challenging, I think it was just all of my acting scenes, because I've never acted before, so everything was a challenge for me, and I mean a great challenge, and I learned so much from it, and I can't wait to, you know, hopefully do and more acting jobs and move on from this, because I just found, like, this new thing for acting. But those were definitely, you know, challenging for me.
Now, you mentioned the director and working with the director, particularly as a new actress. That's sometimes an interesting experience for actors when they get in there. Can you tell us a little bit about the process and how that unfolded working with the director? Some of them are very hands-on. Some of them let it unfold organically. What was that relationship like for you?
Yes. Kevin Tantrone, wow, amazing director. You know, him being so young, you know, everyone's like, oh, how is he? He's incredible. He was so open to all of our ideas, and he just had so much – passion for this film. Like, this was like his baby, and we all would, you know, sit around, talk and collaborate on ideas, and he'd tell us how he feels and what he wants to put towards the scene, and we would, you know, have feedback, and it was awesome. And having it hit, be his first movie and a lot of our first movies, just the experience together, it was really cool. And he was a very easygoing, a great guy to work with, basically.
How long was
amazing.
Filming altogether, by the way?
How what?
How long did you spend physically doing the filming yourself?
Well, we started filming end of November, December to end of February, but we had 2 months of rehearsal before filming.
So that's a pretty big investment of time for you. That's great.
Yeah, it was a long journey, and we're so excited it's finally here.
Well, that's the thing with musicals, Carrington, and kind of why we don't see too many of them anymore, because it does require so much rehearsal.
Oh, totally.
Before, yeah, because, you know, you can't just say get up there and dance together and we'll film it.
Exactly. I mean, we put so much hard work into this, but I definitely think it's, you know, going to be rewarding after seeing the finished product and having, you know, everything finally be here. And we definitely put some good work into it.
You have seen the finished film?
I've seen a rough cut of it. I have not seen the finished product, really, but I guess you could call it that, sure.
So you'll see it, the finished product, at the premiere probably then tomorrow, right?
Yes. It'll be very exciting. very nerve-wracking, like I said. I'm kind of nervous.
I don't blame you, but I wish that we could be there with you, because it sounds like it's going to be quite an event, red carpet and everything. And I just love the original theme so much. So I have high hopes for
well,
this.
Good. I hope we do it well for you.
Now, Carrington, we've been seeing advertising for a while now for Fame, and a lot of it is designed to sort of evoke the memories of the first movie. It's got some of the same music, and it's boasting the same idea. But how would you say that the remake differs from the original Fame?
Yes, we're totally bringing the essence, you know, of the old one with the same message. And, yes, we have some of the same songs. And, you know, we have, like, Cafeteria Jam, which is, like, the hot lunch scene and stuff like that. But definitely we have all new characters, all new storylines. The dancing is totally up to date with modern dancing, and the music is incredible. We have a lot of original songs in it, but we did revamp like the Fame song, so it's the Fame song, but definitely with like an R&B twist, and it's so good. It's totally different, but definitely still has the same essence of the old Fame.
I'm so glad, because that film back in 1980, it just really rang a bell with people. It was not like a traditional musical.
It was one of a kind, for sure. And we definitely want to bring that back.
And that, and you have to have the song in it. After all, that won an Oscar.
I mean, I hope we are getting recognized for that.
I know. You could not have Fame without that that song. And,
no, we couldn't.
And I've seen I was checking on some of the reviews of the 1980 film, and one reviewer called it cinematic poetry, and they were so pleased at the way it combined classical music with pop music, and everyone commented on the dancing. So if you're carrying through with those things, you know, with this remake.
Well, I hope so.
I think it'll be a big, big success.
Yeah.
I understand Debbie Allen is in it because she was in the original.
Yeah, she plays our principal. She, you know, it's really cool seeing her from, you know, being in the old Fame and having her be, you know, the head of the school, the, you know, coming back as, you know, headmaster, and it's really cool, and she was awesome to work with, and she was, having her be, like, so supportive of making, you know, a new Fame, it was awesome to have her support, so she was incredible.
She was also one of the judges on So You Think You Can Dance, isn't that correct?
Yes, she was.
So you knew her from there. And she was in the series, the TV series that was made from the original fame, which was successful for quite a while. So
producers seem to like that, Betty Jo. I've noticed with the remix, they like to have that continuity, that carryover, if they can get somebody from the original to sign on and play perhaps a different role, you know, and get those tie-ins, because it helps bring the audience along.
That's right. That was a very wise decision. And look at the other cast members. I know that there are unknowns, because this is part of the whole soul of the movie, is having new people who are on the verge of stardom, like Carrington. But look at these old timers: Kelsey Grammer, B.B. Newworth, well, of course, Debbie Allen, Charles S. Dutton, and Megan Mullally. Am I pronouncing that right, Megan Mullally?
Yes.
So did you get a chance to do any scenes with any of these name stars?
Yes. B.B. Newworth plays my dance teacher.
Oh, what a dancer. Wow.
Oh, incredible, right? So that was really cool to work with her. And, you know, she had so much insight on, you know, life and dance, and she just brought a lot to the table. So, but I didn't get to work with anybody else.
And it's always
Allen.
Great to see BB and Kelsey together, because they had such chemistry on Cheers, where they
They don't really get to work together on the film, but it is funny that they're in the same movie.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing them as much as the young stars. And does BB dance in this at all?
Not like her, you know, usual. She plays, you know, more of the instructor or the teacher, so she's just that strict, you know, strict woman with power.
What is your favorite dance number that you do in the film? So we'll be sure to watch for it.
Yes, my favorite dance number is definitely my senior dance number. It's called Black and Gold, and there's a few guys, a few girls in it, and we have a big prop, and it's kind of like a sexy, bossy jazz number, and it's really fun.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. And speaking of dancing, I think we have on the line someone from BTR who is quite a reality expert, who's quite a fan of yours, too. And so you think you can dance. So I think I'm going to bring on Allie. Let's get her on right now. Hi, Allie.
Hi, Betty Jo. Hi, Karen team. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
I'm so glad you could call in, Allie. Do you have a question or comment for Carrington?
Oh, absolutely. Carrington, I was wondering, you know, So You Think You Can Dance is such a interesting training ground, because you guys are going from one style of dance to another every single week. So did you take any of that, you know, different styles of dance and all of that, and did you attribute it to your character at all?
A little bit. Just being a dancer, you need to know how to be versatile. So even before the show, I just, you know, prepared myself in order, you know, that I needed to learn all these new dance styles. So I think it's just being a dancer growing up, you know, you just know how to convert, I guess.
That's right. And I'm wondering, Allie, because you were an avid viewer of So You Can Dance in season 4, do you have any favorite dance numbers that Carrington did that you'd like to mention?
Oh, absolutely. Carrington did a contemporary piece with Twitch, Dreaming of a Broken Heart, which I thought was amazing.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
Do you remember that one?
Oh, my God, it's my favorite.
Good.
It was absolutely incredible, and it's so interesting. I mean, Mia Michaels and certain other people, you know, there's dance steps, and then there's movement, and then there's, you know, emotion, and how much, you know, you have to sort of act when you're on the dance floor, too. So how much did that kind of go into everything you do at Fame?
Well, it definitely helped prepare me a little bit, just, you know, being in front of cameras and performing and, you know, being in the public eye a little bit. But like I said, it was on a complete different level, you know, acting and doing what I love, you know, performing on a stage, you know, just dancing. It was kind of different, but it helped a little bit.
What was the hardest dance that you had to do on So You Think You Can Dance?
The hardest dance. I would definitely have to say the country two-step.
I knew you were going to say that.
I can officially say I dislike that dance style with a passion. And, I mean, it's great. And people who really can do it, it's phenomenal because it's literally the hardest, like, dance style I've ever seen in my life. So,
well, there goes
props to people. I know. Props to people who can do that because I can't. That is one of the hardest styles ever.
Well, I thought you did it. You did it very, very well. And Allie, was there? This is a senior moment for me. But was there? Do you remember a pasodoble that Carrington did?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I love the pasodoble too. Whenever it breaks out at So You Think You Can Dance as well. I mean, I thought that you brought a very interesting. I mean. You were a great contestant for the show to have. You know, you just brought very awesome energy to it, and, you know, it was fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And I'll bet you had fun being on that show.
Oh, my God, the best experience of my life. It was incredible. It was so much fun.
What do you think about this year's the following season?
The season 5 contestants were so amazingly talented, technically beautifully trained dancers. I loved everybody on the show. It's very cool to see it. And even though I was on it, those dancers are still so inspiring to me. And I can still look up to them. And I still, you know, get chilled when they do, like, amazing dances. And it's great.
I just finished Tom Bergeron's autobiography. I want to just bust in and ask you. Is he as nice of a guy in person as he seems on television and in his books and everything? Because he seems like just the sweetest guy.
Wait, who is?
Tom Bergeron.
He's on Dancing with the Stars,
I'm sorry. Whoa, yes. There was a mental breakdown. I'm sorry.
Well, Al, well, I get those two shows mixed up, too.
Oh,
I did.
I mean, I've never met him, but I'm sure he's
God.
Nice.
Well, he does seem really nice, yeah.
Jazz, we need to take you to the home.
Yeah, well, I'm off my medication this week for Alzheimer's, so...
He's still got the vapors from our interview with Debbie Reynolds, I think. So, well, I think it's time. Allie, can you stay on the line for the rest of the show?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to.
Good, and I wanted to take some time now to ask Nikki what's happening in the chat room. Are there any comments or questions that you'd like to share with Carrington?
Absolutely. Well, just so you know, our chat room is the smartest chat room ever on Blog
right.
Talk Radio. They really are. They are. And so I have several questions that they have presented that some that you've covered and some that you haven't. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and read those right quick. They wanted to know who's directing, which you already covered, and who choreographed the movie.
Marguerite Derricks choreographed the movie.
Okay.
She's an amazing choreographer.
And we were very surprised to find out that the director was only 25 years old. How
24.
Amazing is that? 24? That's crazy.
I know, right?
Wow. I mean, serious.
That's
and
insane.
It really is. Like, if you, I'm just saying, being somebody older than that, okay, not a lot older, but older, I'm very impressed. And
It's crazy. And he, you know, presents himself as so much older. He's so mature, and he's, you know, got a movie under his belt. That's amazing.
It is.
I think he's done, music videos and maybe
TV
commercials.
Yeah, he worked for, like, Britney and MTV, and he's done a lot of stuff.
So he's at the beginning of his career, too. Yeah.
Right. I have a question about that, and then I'll get to the other two, and there's only two more. Was it, like, for me, somebody so young who's worked with those types of artists, like, I would be afraid that the movie would be one big music video. However, just so you know, I've seen the trailer, so I know that it's not. But did you have any fear going into it, or did you have to do a lot of research to make sure that it stayed true and gritty and like, real-life New York?
No. There's a lot of singing. There's a lot of dancing and performing arts. But it's still, and even though it's PG, it's still gritty. It's still real. It's still raw. It has the same essence as the old one, and I wasn't afraid because I knew that's what Kevin wanted, and, you know, when he wants something, that's, you know, what's going to be done, and he had this vision for it, and it's, I think it's coming to life, and it's great.
Well, I'm excited to see it. So there's a question from Molo, and he said, was there a part of the character that you could see as very much like yourself?
Yes, definitely. Me and Alice definitely have the determination and the focus and the drive to be a professional dancer, and our passion in life is dance completely. So I could relate to her in that sense.
That's awesome.
Those are excellent questions from the chat, and I'm glad someone asked about who did the choreography, because that's certainly important here. And Marguerite, isn't that how you pronounce her name?
Yes, Carrington? Marguerite Derrick.
She did choreography in Little Miss Sunshine. Do you remember
she's
the dance?
Everything. Her resume is incredible. She seriously has done everything, choreographed for everybody. Like, she's amazing.
And she did some choreography for the TV Fame series, too. So she knows what she's doing in connection with the show, you know, working with youngsters and doing some pretty special type of dancing. So I'm really happy that she is doing the choreography for this.
Yeah, definitely.
I think AJ has another couple of questions for you, Carrington.
That I do. You just talked about how both you and your character in Fame have that determination to make it, but why would you say dancing is so important to you in your life?
I think, you know, I never, when I started dancing, I was 2 years old, so I wasn't like, oh, Mom, I want to be a dancer. My mom just put me in, but I happened to love it and never want to get out of it, and I've just had this passion for dance just because it's all I've known and it's all I've wanted to know, and I don't know, I think you're just literally born to dance, and you just have to have that passion for it, and I definitely do.
And it shows in your work, too. I love that. Born to Dance. Now, that could be a title of a movie. I think it was. Born to Dance, right?
Yeah.
That'll be the title of her memoirs 20 years or 30 years from now, yeah.
Perfect.
Right.
I love it.
And we'll have her back to talk about it on Movie Addict Headquarters.
We'll plug the book for you, Carrington. Yes.
Thank
you. Exactly. AJ, did you have something else you wanted to ask Carrington?
That I did. You say it seems like you're a pretty big fan of the original. You talk about how you want to make the new Fame faithful to the original, yet be its own movie.
Yes.
But personally, do you have any other favorite musical films and performances in them?
Oh, wow. I love all musicals. Ones that stick out of my head are like Footloose, Grease, and Chicago. Those I love.
Awesome.
And,
great choices.
Yeah, I don't know. But there's so many. But those I don't know. I just think they're really fun.
Now, this one is a remake, and there's always controversy about remakes because, you know, the diehard fans of the original, you always hear them shouting, you know, oh, you shouldn't mess with it. But we see a lot of them being done. Are there any other remakes that you can think of, aside from those you just mentioned, that maybe you'd be interested in starring in?
Well, Footloose, like I said, was, you know, is going to be, you know, filmed pretty soon. I really wanted to try out for that, but it's too late now. But that would have been really fun to be a part of. But none that I can think of other than that.
And
maybe
you said this is your first professional acting gig for the big screen. We do get a lot of fans that follow Betty Jo who are in the business or trying to get into the business. So you don't have a lot of acting background so far. What's your training been? Have you taken any classes? Are you pushing into that? Or do you want to do more acting instead of just dancing? And, you know, how are you going to prepare for that?
I definitely want to, you know, like I said, I have this new passion for acting. So I definitely want to break away from dancing in movies. I want to, you know, become just an actress. I still want to dance. So I'm just trying to focus on both of those right now and just see how it goes because I want to do both. So, and yes, I'm working, you know, going to acting classes, working with a coach and just, you know, trying to get myself prepared. You know, I've been dancing since I was 2 and I just have to keep telling myself, you know, acting, it's not, you know, you have to practice at it just like I practice dance, you know, it's not going to come right away. So, just, you know, going to practice that as hard as I can.
See, Betty Jo, everybody keeps talking about remaking Rocky Horror. Couldn't you see her as doing Little Nell's part?
Yes, yes. And I was thinking of if they did a remake of Flashdance. You know, we want her in a starring role. So.
Betty Jo?
Yes.
I'm so sorry. I have to go right now.
Oh, is this Allie?
No, this is Carrington.
Oh, this is Carrington. You do?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we are just so happy that you could take almost a half hour with us. Well, actually, you have, and we're wishing you the very best of luck. You were such a wonderful guest. And
thank you so much. I'm so sorry, and it was so great talking to everybody.
Thank you.
We appreciated
we'll have to drag
it.
Her back again.
I know we will. And what is it they say? Break a leg tomorrow on the red carpet, but not.
Well, thank you. I will.
Yes.
And we'll be.
Don't let the paparazzi catch you at the after party. That ruins a lot of careers. Keep your eyes open.
I will. Thank you so much.
And we'll be sending you extra special good vibes, Carrington. So
thank you so much.
Bye for now.
Okay. Bye.
Oh wow, she's great, isn't she?
Oh, she was fabulous. What a great guest.
All these movies being mentioned, Flashdance and Footloose, I'm ashamed to say, as many movies as I've seen, I have not seen those two yet.
I just had to unmute
Footloose
because,
Flash
wait,
Dance.
I knew he was going to say that. I was fixing to ask AJ if he has seen any of those movies.
Well,
I have seen Grease. Grease was one of my favorite movies when I was growing up, so you got me covered there.
And you saw Chicago, too. I'm sure you saw
Chicago is one of the few movies I actually ended up seeing in the theater twice.
All right.
Because
so
the second time I took my grandma to it.
But
you
we
know,
need to.
You know, the one thing we didn't get to ask her, Betty Jo, and I really wanted to explore that a little bit because I thought we were going to have the time, is she is so young, and this came upon her so suddenly, you know, breaking out on the television show in reality TV and then getting into a nationally released, not one of those straight-to-video films. That's an incredible amount of pressure. You know, and now she's going to have to, you know, move on to the next step from there. And for young people, that can be a big challenge.
Absolutely. Well, we'll try to get her back on, and I just imagine she can handle it. She sounds like a pretty level-headed person. Mm-hmm. So, but you know, we can take advantage of this time because most of our listeners know that AJ is also our DVD correspondent on Movie Attic Headquarters. So.
Oh, yes.
We have some time for AJ to give us his current DVD picks. Do you have some lined up for us, AJ?
Well, when you have me on to talk about the DVD picks, usually what I do is I pick a couple of the latest releases that I really, really liked. But
yeah.
This time, because I'm the horror guru of Real Talk Movie Reviews and I write for a bunch of different horror websites, I thought I'd take a look at October and see what the bigger Halloween releases are.
Oh, that's great. Go ahead. Please tell us.
All right, in that first week, we've got a couple of actual straight-to-DVD remakes of older horror movies. We have Sci-Fi Channel remake of Children of the Corn coming out. And then the remake I know everybody's been chomping at the bit for, It's Alive, the Killer Baby movie.
Oh, no, I'm not. Baby movie, okay.
And we just talked about the positive remakes. This is going to be one that I don't think a lot of people will respond to because I have a friend of mine on Twitter who runs the website dreadcentral.com, and he said, 5 seconds of a mutant baby in a mutant baby movie, this is one of the worst remakes since The Hitcher. And I haven't seen it yet, although I have a feeling I'm going to be inclined to agree on this one.
I think so. What a title. It's Alive, the Killer Baby movie. Okay, well, anything else coming out in October that could get us ready for Halloween?
Actually, one of the more long-awaited movies by horror fans is finally making its debut on DVD October 6th, and it's called Trick or Treat, which is a movie that some people have been hearing about for a couple of years now, because I remember buying the DVD for $300 when that came out, and I think it was July 07, and it had a preview on the DVD coming soon, Trick or Treat, which is sort of like this anthology film set on Halloween and has all different cast members, like Brian Cox, Dylan Baker, Anna Paquin in it, but it just kind of disappeared for a while, and it's sort of been making the festival circuit, and it's been getting a lot of positive word of mouth from the horror community, and all these mainstream movie fans that have been waiting for it are finally going to get the chance to. And as dubious as I am about movies that come with too much hype, I'm looking forward to this has to offer because the trailer intrigued me when I saw it, and it looks pretty good.
Yeah, well, that sounds good. I had noticed I was making a list of the for the website about DVD releases, and I noticed on October 13th, Drag Me to Hell will be released. Is that one that you would recommend?
Actually, yes. That is one I would definitely recommend because it sort of reminded me, because when I this past weekend I saw Jennifer's Body, and it was a movie that tried to be a horror comedy, and a lot of horror movies tend to do that, just kind of lighten up the atmosphere, but whereas Jennifer Body didn't really know how to do it well, Drag Me to Hell is pretty much an expert on it because it's so over the top and so zany and so goofy. You're laughing at it more than you're cowering in fear, although you do cower in fear because there are a lot of jump-out crazy parts in there that kind of make it like a funhouse ride of a movie. Like, part of the magic is just, like, wondering what's going to pop out and go boo next.
I'm glad you brought that up, and I did want to ask, are you giving a thumbs up or a thumbs down to Jennifer's Body? Because I love that style of film, and I'll admit I saw the trailers, it intrigued me, but I was also kind of leaning towards, you know, maybe I should wait for the DVD.
I'm giving a mild thumbs down to Jennifer's Body because it has the makings of a really cool horror comedy, but it just doesn't know how to do it right or just make it as flow as much as it wanted to. It's not a bad movie. It had some pretty good parts in there, but I would say don't waste your money at the theater. Put it towards gas or something. Save it for what you really need for it and wait for a DVD or Netflix.
Put it on the Netflix release list. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was planning on doing that, but I do have a DVD that came out this month to recommend. It's actually about a witch, so it could be something that you would want to have for Halloween. And
I think I know the one you're talking about.
I think you do know the one I'm talking about. It's Disney's re-release of Bed Knobs and Broomsticks with Angela Lansbury. And I'm telling you, she just bewitched me back in 1971, and she does the same thing. And this is a fully restored and mastered DVD, and of course she plays a witch, an apprentice witch, who wants desperately to help England in World War II. And believe me, does she show off her singing, dancing, and comedy skills. I think that those skills even overshadow the film's Oscar-winning special effects. I had forgotten that it had won an Oscar for special effects back in 71, but it's a special treat to see this legendary actress in top form here. The only thing that I can complain about in Bed Knobs and Broomsticks is that they included an overlong animated soccer game sequence. And then I was watching the DVD bonus features, and now I'm even more upset about that because they reached a decision to use that soccer sequence instead of a musical number featuring Angela Lansbury in a music hall rendition of a song written especially for her by the Sherman Brothers. Now, don't ever, ever make a decision where you would cut off a Lansbury number. I mean, we don't get to see her sing and dance. And all those Tonys that she's won for singing and dancing on Broadway, and we hardly ever have gotten to see her singing in a movie or dancing in a movie. Isn't that right, AJ? Or do you remember any movies where she's actually done a lot of singing and dancing?
I can't say that I've actually seen a lot of Angela Lansbury movies. The two that I've seen of her that come to mind are Nanny McPhee and the original Manchurian Candidate. And she didn't exactly sing and dance her way throughout the Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah,
that would have been an interesting movie, but it would have been awkward.
That's right. Yeah, she did a number, I think, in The Harvey Girls, and she was really, you know, I just loved her in that. But then after that, maybe on Murder, She Wrote, when she was playing her cousin who was in England and, you know, was doing music hall numbers, so we got to see her sing, and I think she made Mrs. Santa Claus a musical for TV, which wasn't all that great, but to see her sing and dance, and they have the most interesting bonus features on this DVD because it goes behind the scenes and shows you how the music was made. And then another number that didn't make it into the movie was Angela Lansbury performing A Step in the Right Direction, and they've lost the film for it, so all they did was show the stills. You know, they played the music and then they showed the stills of her dancing and singing, and honestly I wish I could have seen the film. But it's a wonderful movie. It's got,
I'm gonna have to order that one.
Oh, it's got darling little kids. They're just so believable, and the special effects are great for the time back there in 1971.
Do we have time for one quick indie film pick? Because you know I follow those.
Sure.
There was a DVD that was just released this summer, and for those of you who follow indie films, I'm gonna say this is a really tough, gritty, hard-to-watch film, but so well made. It's called The Poker House. It was directed by Lori Petty and stars Jennifer Lawrence, also stars Selma Blair and David Alan Grier. And it was an indie film. It made it into the theaters only very briefly, unfortunately, and it's out on DVD now. And this is just a tragic story. Jennifer Lawrence is very young and plays a young daughter of a woman who is a prostitute, a drug addict, who lives in a place called the Poker House, where the pimp takes care of his business but also hosts card games and drug activities and just nasty things. And there's three young children living and growing up in this horrible house and still somehow maintaining the optimism and brightness of youth and finding a way to get above that through some terrible circumstances. It's a wonderfully made film. And beautifully directed and great acting. So if you get a chance, take a look.
Witches and killer babies and pimps, oh my. And that reminds me that The Wizard of Oz, it's the 70th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz, and there's a wonderful new DVD that's a digital remastering of The Wizard of Oz, which is out this month. So we can't forget about that. And if anyone has a chance to see The Wizard of Oz on a big screen some night this week, I believe at some cities in the country, as part of the 70th anniversary celebration, The Wizard of Oz will be shown. Please try to see it, because it would be so wonderful to see that film again on the big screen.
That movie still scares the stuffing out of me.
I know. Those monkeys.
I have nightmares from my childhood of those flying monkeys to this day.
Don't worry, I have nightmares of Hancock. Don't worry, it's even.
Okay.
You always got to bring it up. You always got to go there, don't you, AJ?
It's either Hancock or Transformers for Nikki. Well, we only have 2 minutes remaining, so this is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support and connection with this show. Special thanks, of course, to Nikki and Jazz and AJ for everything they do to make Movie Addict Headquarters such fun to host. And thanks again to Allie for calling in, as well as to our chatters. They just made very perceptive contributions and questions as usual, and to all our other listeners, we really appreciate all of you. Please tune in next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, when our guest will be cinema's celebrated independent filmmaker, Henry Jaglom. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. Now, as usual, to close the show, here's A.J. Daniels with a song we dedicate to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
with me and be true.